Hey, welcome to the Christmas edition of the Talking Some Sense podcast. Alongside me, I've got Chris and Claire.
Bonjour. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. We're recording this on Thursday, December 21st, and this is going to be posting on Friday, December 22nd. And I know it's not Christmas yet, but this is going to be our final episode until Christmas. And it'll actually also be our final episode of the year 2023. So we'll talk a bit more about that a little later. But for this edition, I figured we dress up and yeah, might as well. I look like a prick, but it's okay. It's Christmas. And hey, Chris looks sexy.
It's mostly the shirt. The shirt is doing a lot of the heavy lifting in this, so that's fine.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yes, happy holidays to everyone who's listening, watching this. We've been excited to have these past few episodes. We're excited for a new year, new opportunities, new conversations, new interviews, all that sort of stuff. We're so excited. Thanks for being along on this journey with us.
I could not have said it any better myself. So this episode is going to be tailored towards coaching, because if you didn't know, if you live under a rock, the Ottawa Senators have gotten rid of DJ Smith. So recently, a couple of days ago, it was right after the Arizona game, if my memory serves me correct, the day after, the Ottawa Senators hosted a practice and then dropped a big bomb that DJ Smith would not be continuing with the Ottawa Senators. And Jacques Martin, who was hired as a coaching advisor, 11 days into his tenure as a coaching advisor, became the interim head coach. We're going to talk about what this means, and we're going to talk about how does this affect the team moving forward, and who on earth is the next coach of the Ottawa Senators. Tune in and we'll find out. So first of all, I want to talk about DJ Smith really quickly. Before I list my laundry list of stats on DJ Smith, did you want to say anything about him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go too far into this just because I said a bunch of things, you know, when we did our sort of live, whatever it was thing that we were live reaction is the word I'm looking for. After we heard about the news, I did start by saying something similar to what I'll say now. So I'm not going to repeat myself too much. But what I'd say is, again, DJ, he didn't have a great record. I think it was 434 winning percentage, something like that.
464, but close enough.
So sorry. Yeah. I got to give him those 30 extra points, percentage points. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he wasn't here. I don't think he was here to bring us to the promised land. He was here to do a job and he did that job. He developed the team. Yeah, it didn't go quite as well as anyone would have wanted it to. But we were on a budget, right? So it's expected that he's not going to necessarily be able to do or run with the team, roll with the lines that he necessarily wanted to. At the end of the day, again, he did what he did the best he could. It was his first time as a head coach, and it was the perfect timing for him. I definitely think he's going to get another job in the NHL, not as a head coach, but as an assistant coach. And he's going to continue developing, especially with Team Canada and places like that. I think that's a great place for him to learn from really, really skilled coaches. But yeah, I would say thank you for all you did. At the same time, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be blunt. And I'm just going to say I am excited for this next phase or this next era of Ottawa Senators hockey, but Ottawa Senators coaching is going to be. I think the foundation is there. There's incredible players. There's incredible talent. Now it's about how we're utilizing those players, and they weren't utilized in the right way under DJ. They will be under the next coach.
Again, couldn't have said it any better myself. I will piggyback onto it. DJ Smith was originally hired to be the man to guide this rebuild for the young stars, such as Brady Tkachuk, Tim Stutzle, even Thomas Chabot, if you want to put him there, Jake Sanderson, all those young guys. DJ Smith was brought in to help turn them into NHL, everyday NHL players and everyday NHL stars. And he was able to do that hands down. Tim Stutzle was a top 10 talent in the NHL, arguably. I know a lot of people argue about that, but in my mind, he's either there or close to it. Brady Tkachuk is one of the best power forwards in the NHL, and in my opinion, one of the best captains in the league as well. Thomas Chabot, while he's got some consistency issues at times, he is an elite defenseman in the National Hockey League. Jake Sanderson is one of the best youngsters in the NHL. He's just that good. There's so many guys that have become what they've become, partly thanks to DJ Smith. But at the same time, it was time to move on. He had coached 317 games, and that was second in Senators history. In those 317 games, his record was 134, 154, and 132 for a winning percentage of what Chris said, 464. That's an abysmal record. Granted, 80% of it, if not more, was during the hardest days of the rebuild where we were objectively trying to lose to get higher draft picks. But it was gotten to the point where last year the Senators were expected to move on and, if not make the playoffs, challenge for it. Last year, they were close to challenging for it, but they didn't challenge for it. This year, the teams seemingly took a massive step back and is, I believe, at the time of recording, I'm pretty sure we're 29th in the NHL. And that's just unacceptable for a team that is, I think, $800,000 away from the salary cap ceiling. When you're this close to salary cap, you expect to win. You expect to be a very, very good team in the NHL. And while on paper, the Senators are a very good team, it just has not clicked. And there's many reasons for this. It's not just coaching. It's not just one player being bad. It's not just injuries. There's a lot of reasons for it. But the easiest way to try to spark a change in the team a lot of times is making a change. And unfortunately, a coach is usually the first domino that falls. DJ Smith was let go, obviously. And while I've been a fan of Manat, while I'm a big fan of DJ Smith the person, and I have liked what he's done, it was time to move on. With that being said, Jacques Martin is currently the interim head coach. He's also the winningest coach in Senators history. He coached 9 years in the league, and I'm pretty sure he's like top 10 in all-time wins for a coach. I'd have to verify that stat a little later, but he's got a lot of wins as an NHL coach, and we've been very thankful to – we've been pretty lucky to be able to bring him back as, first of all, an advisor, now interim head coach. And he's going to – for the rest of the season, he's going to serve as coach, obviously. Moving forward, I don't think he's going to be the man who has the job long-term, but he's going to be the guy between DJ Smith and the next guy, obviously. And his number one priority is going to be to slow the game down and dumb it down to fix the consistency issues that have been troubling the Ottawa Senators. And recently he said that his number one priority is going to be reducing shift times. And when he said that, it made me think, and while it might not be the only reason why Senators suck, it could definitely be partly of it. Thomas Chabot the last few years has been playing 27 minutes a night, and his shifts have been averaging like 2 minutes per shift, which is absolutely bananas. That second number I pulled out of my butt, it might not be accurate, but it's what it felt like. Thomas Chabot was playing a ridiculous amount of hockey, and you can pretty much say the same for Tim Stutzel, Brady Tkachuk. So many guys on the team overplayed, and for those who have played hockey, you know this, but for those who have not played hockey, hockey is a sprint sport. You're sprinting on the ice. And sprinting, you're good to sprint for 20, maybe 30 seconds at a time. But then after that, you're gassed. So obviously, once you're gassed, you're not going to be able to make the same decisions as you would when you're fully energized. And that's when the Senators tend to suck. They tend to start a game strong for the most part. Not always, but for the most part. Under DJ Smith, they tended to start a game strong. But the second things slow down and they have time to breathe, the team sucks. They have no energy. They've got no critical thinking skills because of the lack of energy. Because the lack of oxygen going to your brain sometimes just makes, like, you can't make decisions on the spot like that. So lowering the time on ice is going to be, and shift length is going to be very valuable to this team. Changing the neutral zone forecheck is going to be very important too, because as Chris and I have an ongoing joke, we have a drink to defensive zone breakdowns. And 9 times out of 10, those defensive zone breakdowns start in a neutral zone. So once you change that up, hopefully it fixes up the defensive zone as well. before I keep rambling, I'm going to pass it off to Chris because I don't want to be the one talking all night.
Yeah, I was just going to say that when you listen to Jacques Martin, specifically today during his sort of media availability after practice, something that stood out to me was exactly what you were saying was, it wasn't about, hey, we competed. Like, yes, he said we competed well the last game, or at least the last period. Like, he gave a good assessment about that, obviously. But that's what we were used to with DJ Smith, right? It's like, we competed really well. We played really hard. And we heard that every game. And it's like, no, I watched the game. I can tell you didn't. You may have had a good first period, as you'd mentioned, Jake, but overall, it wasn't a good game. It was a good maybe 15 minutes. I'm not a math guy, but that's pretty far off from 60 minutes. And so, you know, hearing a real tangible assessment about where their game is, specifically when Jacques mentioned that he really liked the first period, specifically because of obviously ozone, like time in the ozone, like or offensive zone. That was great to hear that. Like, he was really happy with where they were at in the first period. He thought the team was incredibly good in the first period with their offensive zone time, but also pressure. Also with how they were able to, the other thing he had highlighted was how someone like Tim Stützle was able to hold onto the puck and they got a full line change because of what Tim Stützle was able to do. So I like, that's something that they're going to be obviously focused on, but it's like you had said, it's their neutral zone. It's their neutral zone. It's the fact that they end up, if you don't have defensive structure, you can't get to the off or to the neutral zone, and then you'll never get to where they've obviously shown that they're strong, or a strength of theirs is the offensive zone. Now, is that sustainable right now with the structure? No, but they showed signs of once they get into the offensive zone and not a dump and chase. I that happens every once in a while, but I don't want to hear it anymore. Jake is loving this, so that's great. I must be onto something here. But yeah, I would say what it needs to start with the defensive zone. And I think, Jake, you brought up a great point around the shift lengths. Like, if you're able to shorten those shifts, and to be able to, you need to do that because you control the puck more than the other team, which is a terrible cliche. But if you're able to control,
it's the honest truth.
Yes. And that's something that they've lacked over I would say arguably DJ's era. They've been able to do it in stretches, which is often in the first half of the first period. But then, to your point, they end up double shifting or longer shifts because they don't have the structure in their own zone to be able to get it back out so that they can have a line change, right? So if you're not able to get that structure, it really does start with the defensive structure. And that's something that they've been focused on in this last practice was defensive, or they had mentioned, or Jacques had mentioned that in the meetings he had with the team, that was something that he's noticed over the period of time, but especially being behind the bench. You create that strong defensive structure, which is something he's known for, which is something I think the next coach will echo, I hope, I know. And then you're able to create a stronger neutral zone presence. You have the talent to score. You have the talent to own the offensive zone, but when we saw it in this last game, the team crumbled, and then they were playing on their heels the entire, arguably three quarters of the game, but at least half the game, they were playing on their heels. They were playing defense. They were playing in their own zone more. They couldn't get it out. They could not get those passes. So once they're able to create that defensive zone structure, translates to an effective outlet pass, creates that neutral zone presence, creates those offensive zone chances, which will inevitably, they say, the more time you spend in the offensive zone, the more of a chance you have to win, score goals, all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of where I'll leave that. And I think that's something Jacques Martin is absolutely going to bring. And it was interesting. I'm just going to kind of put a bow on it with this. For anyone watching the Arizona game, it was interesting to me to see Jacques Capuano approach Jacques Martin with the game board and say, hey, essentially, hey, this is the play I'm thinking about doing. And you watch Jacques go look at it and said, okay, okay, okay. And then he shook his head and he's like, that doesn't, you could tell he's saying, that doesn't really work for me. And that's an echo to this DJ Smith sort of era, is that thought about what it means to be a, and he owns the defense. Jacques Capuano owns the defense. And you have Jacques Martin coming in one game. He's like, no, that's not working. So that's kind of my bow on that.
Yes, I will take that and say this very much so. If you look at the Ottawa Senators really quickly and look at Tim Stutzel, Josh Norris, Thomas Chabot, they're all hockey fanatics. They're students of the game. To have a student of the game play at their best, they need a professor of the game. That's Jacques Martin right there. He's able to break down plays. Even with media, he's able to break down plays, say, this worked because of this reason. This worked because of that not reason. The reason why Ottawa scored that one goal that Timmy assisted on is because Timmy broke through the team, played a possession game. That possession game allowed the team to control the puck and do an entire line change while still maintaining the puck. And once it was time to shoot, it was easy to find a laneway to pass, and it was a goal. This team needs a possessive, aggressive style. And I'll bring it back to Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson played defense by playing offense. Jacques Martin is known by being a defensively minded coach. But the way he's speaking, the way I'm reading into the lines, he's going to approach a similar aspect of playing defense by not letting the team get the other puck, i.e. a possession game. Dump and chase is fine if you need to, if your guys are gassed and you need to force a line change. Dump and chase is fine as a last second breakout. Dump and chase is a last resort. If dump and chase is your go-to tool, you're not going to control the pace of the game. And that's going to lead to an offensive zone turnover. And while the team is doing a line change, there's going to be a neutral zone breakdown because there's nobody on the ice to form a half wall, form a wall, form a 1-3-1 trap. I don't know. I'm pulling a Guy Boucher. He wants you to throw a 1-3-1 trap out of my butt here. But like when you're dumping a chase and then forcing a line change, there's nobody there to play defense. That's what's wrong with the Ottawa Senators. And I'm going to use your term because it's the holidays. I'm going to put a bow in it by asking you, what are you looking for in the next coach of the Ottawa Senators? Name me a few, like, not guys, just a few. I can't think of the word. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm French. Yeah. I'm French. I'm
sorry. You were right on there. That's how I got there. But I think we've highlighted it, right? It's that we want to see, we have a team here that is dynamic, that is, you know, whether you're talking about defense, offense, like there's such a dynamic element to this team. And I think, obviously there are changes I would like to make in terms of some of the personnel, but overall, you know, you think about like a Jake Sanderson, you think about a Chychrun on the back end, even arguably even Artem Zub, who's been playing a much more physical game this season, which has been great to see. Even Brännström, right? Like that's like a solid, I wouldn't say necessarily a top four, but like a top five at least, where there's a dynamic play to get the puck to the forwards. And then you have a ton of really dynamic forwards, Stützle, Norris, you have Tkachuk, you have, you know, at least for this season, you have Tarasenko, you have Joseph has been lights out so far this season, which has been an incredible bounce back. But you want to echo that dynamic play by having a system in place that supports that, right? So you want to be more aggressive. You want to be, you don't want to be doing dump and chase. You want to have, you want to exit your zone and enter the offensive zone with the puck. You don't want to just dump and chase and then hope that your forwards can go in deep and get that puck. You actually want to be able to run the zone, get the puck, move the puck, create chances. And they haven't been able to do that. Right. So what the biggest thing for me is someone who is defensive minded and then who wants to own and wants puck possession, not this dump and chase stuff. The dump and chase stuff, like you said, absolutely echo and definitely agree with what you're saying. The dump and chase should ultimately, at the end of the day, should be either a last resort or you're trying to get a line change and you know you can get the shot in there, but you are also needing to get off the ice. Other than that, you enter the zone. You figure out a way to enter the zone, and these players don't know how to do that because the structure wasn't put in place. Everyone drink. The structure wasn't put in place to be able to... as Jake swigs his water, there wasn't a system put in place to be able to support that. So those are two things that if we're able to bring in that, you know, defensive structure and that that offensive pressure, I think this team will absolutely contend for a deep playoff run.
Thank you. To summarize, I will add on to that. I think I will piggyback and say, yes, I agree. The Senators' next coach should be defensively oriented, but not in the way that Guy Boucher was. I know I've made a lot of jokes on Twitter saying a 1-3-1 trap. I want Guy Boucher over DJ Smith. But what I mean by that is I want a coach who's able to have a good defensive structure in the neutral zone to turn that defense into an offense. That's the kind of coach I want. But aside of gameplay on the ice, some qualities I want is I want a good communicator, a good a guy who's able to explain, like good communicator in the sense of, Timmy, I want you to do this because when you do this, this is gonna happen. Brady, that was a stupid fight. Don't do it again. Someone who's able to say, hey, good on you for doing this, but do this instead next week. There's ways of approaching your player instead of, because DJ Smith was the player's best friend. In my opinion, that's an assistant coach's job, not the head coach. And we have a guy for that. We've got Bob Jones. And Bob Jones is going to retain a job with the Ottawa Senators as long as he wants to work for the Ottawa Senators. As long as he's physically able to work for the Ottawa Senators, he's going to have a job with the Senators. So let him thrive in that role. So that's what the assistant coach job is for. The head coach is someone who's able to put structure into play and say someone who's able to change the lines up once it's not working, but not just pull a name out of a hat. Say, oh, this guy might work. Look at the player's strengths and see what works best. Tim Stützle is an elite play-driving playmaker center. Vladimir Tarasenko has got one of the best releases in the NHL. Pair those two up with Brady Tkachuk, who can park his butt right in front of the net with his big 6'4 frame, screen the goalie, and be a garbage collector in terms of getting rebounds. For the last number of years, he has been thriving in a role of driving the puck under the goalie's pads. I have not seen that at all this year from him. At all. Stick to the basics. Stick to the basics. Get a guy who can get to the puck, to the shooter, shoot that up front, and if it misses, let the garbage collector finish it up. Perfect line set up there. If you look at on the second line, you have the playmaker in Claude Giroux. You have that shooter and Josh Norris. And Drake Batherson is not that pretty. Tkachuk is going to park his butt in front of the net. But he's the guy who's going to be able to serve as a shadow forward who can kind of hover around and fill the gaps. It's simple as that, looking at each guy's strengths and utilizing them with people who won't play well with them. It's simple.
I love that. And I think, thank you for bringing that up. I love the point around really playing to the player's strengths. And that's something that I think has been missing. So great shout out there. And the other shout out I want to give you is recognizing the off the ice stuff. Because on the ice is one thing, but obviously we only watch what's on TV, but I think it's a great point to highlight what happens off the ice. And being a great communicator and somebody who is understanding, but is I don't want to say defiant, but is very confident in what they expect from their players and laying out that expectation early on. And it sounds like Jacques's done that. So I think to your point, I know Jacques's done that, obviously, because that's the kind of coach he is. But I think that's something that they will be looking in for their next coach as well, is absolutely somebody who's just like, this is what I need from you, and is able to really effectively not just beat it into them, but is able to help them come around to understand exactly what it means to be a power forward, to be that great offensive defenseman, to be a great defender, you know, all those different roles that they need. So great shout out. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I didn't forget to say those are great points. Absolutely agree.
All good. Thank you. And I'm going to wrap up that what I want in a coach. And I'm going to finish off by saying, finishing my stat off really quickly earlier. Earlier, I said Martin was a top 10 winningest coach. Not quite top 10, but he is currently the 22nd most winningest coach in NHL history with 613 wins. He is 700 wins away. Sorry, 700. Seven wins away from tying Ottawa Senators legend Brian Murray. And the winningest coach in NHL history, obviously Scotty Bowman at 1244. So,
it's incredible to have him as part back into the organization. And I think that's why, to your point, and you've said this a few times, why I think that it's going to be so important for him to be a part of the selection of the next coach. He clearly... You know, I definitely disagree with you when it comes to him being an AGM or something like that. Yeah. But I definitely see him being active in terms of the coaching sphere. Whatever, you know, I've never heard of an advisor to the coaching staff before. That may have just been as, you know.
Just created.
Yeah. If he continues in that, that's great. But I would say he's definitely going to be a part of this, the management team on this team, in this organization. But I would say he is absolutely the right mind to be able to find the right next coach. And Ann Lauer isn't looking for, and we'll get into this in this next segment here, but Ann Lauer won't be, at least in my opinion, won't be looking for that cheap budget purchase. He's not looking for a used car. He's going to the dealership and he's saying, you know what? Hey, listen, I'm totally fine grabbing that new car. I want that new car smell. So that's, I think, not to say DJ is a budget coach, but DJ didn't have any experience. And DJ was a much easier, especially when you're trying to sell, you're going to be a part of a rebuild. You're not going to necessarily get that new car smell, so to speak. So, but yeah, that's where I'll leave that.
Yeah. We'll talk about who we think might be the coaching staff coming forward next year. We'll talk about Jacques Martin's potential next role of the team in just a second. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsors, DraftKings.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League, copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. We were just, when we took off on a break there, we were just talking about potential role for Jacques Martin, who could be the next coach. But before we move on to who's the next coach, let's talk about Jacques Martin's role to Senators. I don't think Jacques Martin necessarily wants to be the long-term head coach, but if things go well and somehow the Senators secure the playoff spot, he's definitely going to be considered for the role. Definitely. He has to be. If he's able to get this team to the playoffs, he's going to be considered for a role. I don't say he gets the job, but he's going to be considered for it. And that's why I think right now, as an in-house candidate, he'd be the best candidate to look at if we're looking internally. I think the hire should be an external hire, but if we go for an internal hire, it should be Jacques Martin.
Okay, I can agree with you on that. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that, but yeah, I would say, you know, at 71, and I mentioned this in our live reaction. At 71, I never want to make it sound like an ageism thing. No. But at the end of the day, he's done decades in the league, and he's been, whether it's OHL with the he was Frontenacs, right?
Yes, Frontenacs, yeah. Most recently, yes.
Shout out to Alex. And yes. You know, whether it's with the OHL, whether it's with the NHL, he has a ton of experience. I don't want it to sound like age is a thing, but no. For me, I would say he would, it's just what I would assume his desire would be to be less like, it's the grind of being a head coach, right? It's the flights, it's the early mornings, it's the late nights. You know, he's put in his time. That's why I think he's going to be a part of the selection, if we want to call it that. I mean, we can unofficially call it that, and I'll take credit for it. But yeah, to your point, I do agree that internally, I hope there's no other option internally. Like is the option internally. But to your point, I want them to go outside the organization. I want them to go external. Mm-hmm.
The only person internally other than Jacques Martin that makes any some sort of sense is Daniel Alfredson, but I don't want that.
Yeah, and we can get into that, but yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. Yeah, we talked about that in the live reaction as well. Neither one of us want that option. No,
Ideally, I want Alfredson to stay on as a senior advisor to hockey operations. I think that's the best role for him, because you can't get fired as a senior advisor. You don't. You quit that job. You don't get fired from it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, unless there's a new ownership group or something like that, and that doesn't happen very often, right? So, yeah, absolutely, I agree. That's exactly where I'd want him to be, and I think that's where he wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. Participate in player development, participate in coaching decisions, participate in big picture items, not be the guy who's responsible for a decision so he's not fired for if that decision goes poorly.
Well, and he wants to be able to oversee that sort of stuff, right? I think this is why having him behind the bench right now for however many games it's going to end up being, I think is a great opportunity for him to learn even more about, hey, you know, as, you know, senior VP of hockey operations, this is what I can bring to that space. And this is what I would expect from the hockey operations side of the business, because I've seen it firsthand, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would say that's a perfect, like, to go from where he is, ultimately, like, Alfie's the greatest ever, right? So he can get whatever role he wants. And this would naturally be, hey, I had a ton of firsthand experience behind the bench. I saw what it meant to have an effective structure behind everyone drink. There it is. Thank you. Thanks, Jake. I appreciate that. But working behind or alongside Jacques Martin, you learn so, like, he played for him and now he's standing next to him. He knows what it will mean for the team to see that sort of system in place. That's what he's going to bring to that space. And so absolutely agree. Yes, 100%. That's where he wants to be. That would make the most amount of sense. Don't get him behind the bench. Don't, for the love of everything anywhere, don't put him behind there full time.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think that the selection committee, if you will, for a new head coach is going to be Steve Staios, general manager, whoever general manager is, that general manager is going to be part of it, Jacques Martin, and Daniel Alfredson. Those four people are going to be in charge of hiring the next coach of the Ottawa Senators, with the final decision going to whoever general manager is. But before I talk about that, I'm just going to mention I'm going to mention that. And one final guy I'd look at, I don't want him to get the job. I think he's doing a great job in Belleville so far. But I have a feeling that David Bell is just going to get an interview. He's going to get an interview because it's an internal thing. He's going to give an interview. You always interview your EHL coach. If you look at the last coaching hiring in Ottawa, it was when DJ Smith was hired. The people who interviewed for that job were Patrick Roy, Rick Bonus, Jacques Martin, Troy Mann, and Nate Lehman. I have no idea who Nate Lehman is, but if you look at Troy Mann, he was the AHL's coach. Jacques Martin, obviously, like Rick Bonus and Jacques Martin, two of the greatest coaches to coach in Ottawa. They got an interview. That's kind of cool. And Patrick Kawaga also got an interview too. Yeah. I think Pat's going to get another interview. We'll see what happens. He's one of my many candidates I'm going to break down. But my point there is being that the AHL coach always gets an interview. So David Bell obviously is going to get a look. Don't think he gets it. Think he stays in the AHL for a bit. He's never been a head coach in professional hockey. He's only ever been a head coach in the OHL. So this is his first gig as a professional. As a professional coach, this is his first gig as a head coach. So I think he's probably not the guy for the job.
No.
If you look at a couple external candidates that have been confirmed by insiders, such as Bruce Garriott, Frank Saravalli, and there's one more person that I'm blanking on, but three people have confirmed these following names as people who should be getting looked at for these jobs, for this job. Number one is John Gruden, currently the head coach of the AHL Toronto Marlies, who worked with Steve Staios and Michael Andlauer for a number of years in Hamilton, OHL's Hamilton Bulldogs. He's definitely going to get considered for the job. I don't want him. Simply put, I don't want a no-experience coach. I'm just going to be one guy who I'd be willing to get as a non-experienced NHL coach, and I'll mention him last because I know he's not going to get the job. And you know exactly what I'm thinking of, but I'll mention it a little later. The next name that's been talked about is Jay Woodcroft, obviously the winningest coach in Edmonton Oilers history based on win percentage. He's a very, very good coach, and he got sacked as he was made the scapegoat for Edmonton's horrible start to the year. Dean Evason, very, very good communicator, very, very good at establishing what he wants, and he was able to turn Frédéric Goudreau into a top six center, and he was able to turn Ryan Hartman into a number one center. If he's able to do that, no slights to him in any way, shape, or form. But that's a guy who's able to get the absolute best out of all his players. And he coached 97. What's his name? 90s. Kirill Kaprizov. Sorry, I blanked on his name. Kirill Kaprizov to a 97-point season just 2 years ago. If you look at another one that's being brought up is Claude Julien. He's another guy I'd be willing to have him if nobody else took the gig. But I don't think we're in that position anymore. I like Claude Julien, but I don't think he's the right fit for this team. Just because of how this team is built. He is known for coaching a full defense, zero offense system. That's completely in one way, zero offense. And that's not really what I want. I want a guy who's got to be able to do both. So if he's, say, the assistant coach that's running the PK and the defense, fine, but I wouldn't want him as head coach, and I don't think Claude Julien would be willing to be an assistant coach in the NHL today. So on that, I'm going to say pass on that. The next guy that's been mentioned is Chris Kelly, who played in Ottawa for numerous years. He was drafted by the Senators and started his coaching career with the Senators as a player development coach. Is now a assistant coach for Bruce Cassidy, now Jim Montgomery. So he's learning from some of the best coaches in the NHL today, and he is regarded as one of the top coaching prospects in all of hockey at the current moment in time. So, of course, I want him to look at that. That'd be awesome. The next guy I'm going to mention here is interesting. Craig Berube. Out of this list of guys that have been mentioned, he'd be my favorite or my second favorite behind Dean Evason. I think Craig Berube is a guy who obviously won the Cup in St. Louis, In some ways, he can be a little overrated. I don't think he's the be-all, end-all top coach of the NHL by any way, shape, or form. But he's a guy who's going to be able to shake things up in terms of, instead of being best friends with the players, there's going to be that hierarchy where you can be friendly with your coach, but you got to know where you stand. And with Craig Berube, you know where you stand. So that's why I'd like him to be considered. Maybe he's not going to get the job, but he's definitely an interesting option for me. And the final two coaches I'm going to name right now is the current Brantford Bulldogs head coach. Don't want him. Jay McKee, don't want him. No significant NHL experience. Nothing against him, but I don't want to be picking from the bargain barn. No thanks. And Gerard Gallant, I'm also going to say no thanks to that, because Gerard Gallant is a very, very veteran-oriented coach, and I don't think he's going to be able to use our players in the best way. Now I'm going to throw it to you. Out of all those names that I just mentioned, who would you prefer?
Well, I would say one other name that's been mentioned also as a second chance, and this is from Josh Beneteau, is Travis Green. Not to say that's it. I don't want him. No. I don't want him. But I just wanted to, you know, so we get, because you named every other potential option. Just wanted to. You have a bunch more, but I would say just wanted to make sure that that was also thrown out there. For me, I said this right from the start, and I know this is going to get some pushback, and I love it. I'm all in on Patrick Waugh. So I think that a lot of people are concerned with his defensive zone structure. But that's why you bring it. You don't need to necessarily be that defensive zone. Like, as a head coach, you're running the whole show. You bring in someone who's stronger on the defensive end. So, So that's why you find someone who compliments you as a coach and is able to not literally just compliments you all the time, but obviously is someone who I just didn't mean that to sound like somebody who just compliments you and says all the right things, but somebody who compliments you in the.
You look so good today, Chris. You're so good at hockey. Like, you know,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We don't want that, but,
a yes man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, you bring it. I think he's had the experience with the Ramparts now. He's had a ton of success with them, and I think he's understood and he's become a little bit more humble. And I know that aggression and he's very aggressive, and that's just the kind of person he is, but he's dialed that back because he's learned that that doesn't make him an effective communicator. I think he's become that effective communicator. He's worked with youth, obviously, in junior hockey. So he knows how to connect with a younger core. And that's exactly what we have. I also think, you know, the other thing for me is, and I was thinking about this earlier, Anlauer has made it a priority for him to make sure that he reconnects Ottawa-Gatineau. That's become something that's super important for him, where he has, it's typically coaches, or he has people in place as often as possible who are bilingual, who are able.
Oui, merci. Vive le français.
Merci beaucoup. And I think that's something. It wouldn't be surprising for me if he was going to say, you know, hey, Steos, you know, all these other people, as you laid out, Jake, you know, get some ideas in place. But this is something that's really important, not just to me, but to the community as a coach. It's like for this community, there's nothing better than when you can have a press conference where you can do it in both languages. And you can do so comfortably. And that's why I think, you know, a Patrick Waugh would be perfect. I think, you know, as much as I get the defensive zone stuff with the exact opposite, the defensive zone stuff with Claude Julien, I understand that. But I could see him being somebody that would be looked at. I really want, at the end of the day, and you had said it earlier, I don't want... that in this case, I don't want that new car smell, right? I don't want a fresh coach. I don't want John Gruden is highly regarded and is somebody that has presence with and experience with Ann Lauer and Seos, and I get that. But I don't want to go down that road again, and I fear that fans probably echo this sentiment. They want somebody who is who has that experience, has that pedigree, has that ilk about them, right? Where it's that that presence in the room, imagine you as a player, you know, you're Tim Stützle, you're Josh Norris, you're Brady Tkachuk, and you walk into the room and who's standing there waiting to talk to you after a period, but it's Patrick Hall Wall.
Timmer.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's insane.
That even to me, that gives me literal chills. So that's why I think going with someone like that. So I'd say I haven't thought about a ranking system. So forgive me, this may not be the exact order, but for sure, number one for me, Patrick Waugh. But there's like Claude Julien. I would love to have Woodcroft in there as well. I'd be down for that decision. Those are kind of the players that or the coaches that I would like to have in play. And then you could add a player. I think adding a coach like Chris Kelly, that would be great, but not as a head coach. Bring him in. He was beloved in the city. He was beloved by the players. Bring him in as an assistant. Like, let's do all of that stuff. That's what I'd be down for. So Patrick Waugh, I know it's not going off the board. I get that. It's kind of a boring answer. And I've said that, I think, since our very first poll about this, but that's the kind of player that or the that's the coach I want so badly.
See, I agree with you. I agree with you with the sentiment of having a guy like Chris Kelly. Chris Kelly is not leaving Boston unless he gets a promotion. So we're not going to get Chris Kelly as an assistant coach, but someone like Chris Kelly. What I'd like to see here, head coach, I agree with you. Patrick Waugh, not because he's French. That can't be the reason. You can't hire a coach because he's French, because Montreal has been doing that for decades and decades.
Okay,
and decades.
But just to clarify, that's not the reason that I.
Oh, I know.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, it's just like an added layer to it. Okay, sorry.
Just absolutely.
No, absolutely.
I just wanted to say we're not hiring a French guy just because he's French. We're hiring the guy who's most qualified to turn this team into a winner, and bonus points if he happens to be able to help connect to that French fan base. Okay. So I think I'm in agreement with you that Patrick Waugh is my top. I like Patrick Waugh as the head coach. But some guys I'd like considered for assistant spots. Currently, I'll get my list up again here. So Jerick Gallant, he's not going to take an assistant coach job. Another guy was looking at. I've got a list of like 50 names here of guys who are currently available for either promotion or not working in the league at all right now. Jerick Gallant, obviously, I'll pass. Bruce Boudreau, I'll pass. I love Bruce, but he's a short-term coach, not a long-term coach. Bob Bugner.
All 50, by the way.
No, so. I'm not going to. I'm highlighting some of them. Okay. Yeah, I'm highlighting the most meaningful ones.
Yeah. We're on the same page so far.
Bob Bugner, no thanks.
No.
Mike Yeo, no thanks. No. Here's an interesting one. I said in a group chat that I've got a very random guy. But hear me out. Say Jacques Martin is whatever role you want to give him, vice president of hockey operations, assistant general manager, or stick to the senior advisor of hockey operations. Whatever title you want to give him, whatever that title is, he's going to be part of the front office.
Okay.
He's going to be looking at guys that he knows. What about none other than former Ottawa Senators captain, former Hamilton Bulldogs head coach, former Montreal Canadiens assistant coach, and most recently a pro scout and a assistant coach of Buffalo Sabres tied to Jason Botterill, who's also a name who's being considered for the general manager, Randy Cunningworth?
No.
I agree completely. I just wanted to hype it up.
No. Great hockey mind. Absolutely would be incredible to have to bring him back. Absolutely not. But I love that. I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, I know where this is. Nope, now I don't know where this is going. So no. It was good. It's good. But yeah, I'd say not a good option.
I definitely consider him for a scouting job, but not as a coach.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's got the mind for the game.
Yeah, part of the organization, sure. Again, it would be great to you know, for a number of reasons, bring him back into the organization, all that sort of stuff. Again, great hockey mind, but not someone
I've like the Wasn't it the second captain in franchise history?
I believe he was the second one.
First or second, something like that.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
And he worked with we worked with Jacques Martin in Montreal. He replaced Jacques Martin in Montreal. So, sorry, I just seen that little coincidence and like I had to mention it.
Yeah.
The deep dive took me far, if you can't tell.
Yeah. Quite down the rabbit hole, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Some assistant coaches are at the NHL that could be considered for an NHL spot. Like I said, I don't want to be hiring one of these guys, but some of the significant names, if you will.
But these are, again, just to clarify for the audience, these you've already established Patrick Waugh as your head coach. These are absolutely the assistant coaches you're still talking
about. Not necessarily. I'm just trying to provide fans a context of who's available for a job in Ottawa. As a head coach... Whether it be head coach or assistant, because this search is going to be a very, very vast search. They're going to look at experienced guys. They're going to look at non-experienced guys. They're going to look at random guys. I'm just trying to paint a picture of who all is out there.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Some of the names being mentioned are numerous coaching jobs in the NHL. Most recently, the Calgary Flames almost got the head coach job. Now with the Washington Capitals, Mitch Love, two-time reigning AHL coach of the year back-to-back years. Kirk Muller, Washington Capitals, experience working with Jacques Martin. Mike Vellucci, Pittsburgh Penguins, worked with Jacques Martin in Pittsburgh.
I also, just to kind of quickly throw it in there, I love Muller. So I'd love to bring him. I don't want him as a coach, but I'd love, I mean, I don't know that he'd leave for a lateral move, but.
No. I could see him be the associate coach.
Yeah. But I've loved him since he was, I think he started, was it Montreal? And then he went to Carolina or vice versa?
Yep. Montreal and Carolina.
Yeah. I've loved him since Montreal. So, yeah. I'm down with that one. Yeah.
Then also is Jelf Halpern, two-time Stanley Cup winner in Tampa Bay.
Love that.
Yeah. Next, Chris Kelly, I already mentioned him. Another guy who would probably not take a lateral move, but it'd be an interesting to look at, Mark Savard, power play.
Yes.
One of the best offensive minds in the game. Ow, I just stubbed my toe. Ow.
And he was someone who was looked at, I think it was the Boston, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Boston job, right? So
Boston and Calgary.
Yeah, which is fair. Yeah. He played in both those spots. I would love, I don't want to sound cliched or just kind of regurgitate what I've said, but he is such an incredible hockey mind. His hockey IQ is off the charts, and the way he structures his games, man.
Absolutely. Well,
I would be
If I had to pick one of these non-experienced coaches, it would be him.
Absolutely.
If I could only have a dumpster dive pick where you pick a guy who's not going to make much money, a guy who doesn't have much of a name as a coach, he's the guy I'd pick in terms of that. Guy I'd pick.
That
was my mention for those. But I think two other guys that should definitely be considered for some sort of role, they're currently coaches in the AHL. Todd Nelson of the Hershey Bears. And Benoit Groulx of the Syracuse Crunch, former head coach and general manager of the Gatineau Olympics. How else would you, what other way could you rebuild the connection with the Gatineau fan base? Get their winningest coach in franchise history, Benoit Groulx, who's also a French speaker, who thinks the game really well, offensive mind, and is able to help develop players. Yeah. Obviously, he hasn't had the best time developing players in Tampa Bay because he don't have any freaking prospects, but... He's developed so many guys in Gatineau. He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see Benoit Groulx in some way, shape, or form. If he's running the power play, if he's running the penalty kill, I don't care. I want him as an assistant coach. I want him in Ottawa. Bring him back home.
Yeah.
And the last name I'm going to mention is a name that I know he's not going to get the job. But if I had to pick anyone out there, anyone available, this is my guy. I've been preaching this name for over a year now. I want him in the NHL. He coached Daniel Alfredsson. He coached Daniel Sedin, Henrik Sedin, Matt Sundin, Erik Karlsson, Nicholas Lidström, all those all-time great Swedes. Rickard Gronberg.
I want him in the NHL. About this guy for a long time.
I want him in the NHL so bad because he's such a good coach. He's the greatest European coach of all time, in my personal opinion. And he's been interviewing for NHL jobs in the past, but he hasn't gotten it simply because no NHL team wants to be the first to hire a European guy.
I don't know that's the reason, but
that's
That's
one of the reasons.
Potentially one of the many reasons. Yeah, I would say, you know, he's not as familiar, like not the so we'll call him selection committee because that's what we've started with. In with different organizations haven't necessarily, like, they always have their guys, right? Like, they always have their go-tos, and there's like hockey is a small community in that sort of sense. So I think that's been one of his obstacles, is he's overseas. But he's incredible. So absolutely, I would love, like, let's think totally, if we're going to go off the charts, if we're going to go off the board, so to speak, like outside of Mark Savard, which is again sort of obviously a known commodity, I'd be down with looking at that as looking at him as an option as the next coach. And I think especially with Alfie being an integral part of this this organization moving forward, I'm sure he will have like planted the seed about him, right? So absolutely, yeah.
Yes, no, I'd great. Love that. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Fun fact, Rickard Granberg recently left the ZSC Lions, a team he used to coach. I think it was ahead of last season, and is replaced by none other than former Ottawa interim head coach, Mark Crawford.
There it is. Fun facts. Fun facts, yeah. With Jake.
Fun facts. I'm so full of them.
Yeah, you're full of something.
Oh, yeah. What team is he coaching now? Here, I got the name here. One second. Rickard. I had it written down, but I guess I deleted it. Who is he coaching now? He's currently coaching Tapara in the Liga.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So again, a very, very, very well-known league, one of the top leagues in Europe. But yeah, that's my kind of deep dive on all the guys available. I've got a lot more names listed out, but those are the names that kind of stood out to me. At a later point, I can discuss more of them. But those are the guys that really stand out to me, the guys who should be considered, at least for an interview.
And the other thing, too, and I wish that I forgive me, I wish that I had done this, but I think that they're I wish that I had done research, to be totally transparent. For this segment that I knew was coming, that I'm going to pretend that I didn't know was coming. But I would say I would also love, as someone who is very deeply connected now with the women's hockey, I would love Ottawa to be progressive and to be looking at options, whether it's, I would love as a head coach, but even if it's as an assistant or as an associate or just bringing in more women into the ranks, I would love to see them start looking at those higher. There's a ton of incredible talent in NCAA, specifically in NCAA, that I think would make incredible additions to this organization. So I hope that they're really thinking long and hard about this, about the right way to do this, and the right way to do this is to also interview some incredible women's coaches. And forgive me, no disrespect for not knowing their names. I didn't, again, should have done more research, should have thought outside the box. I'm thinking outside it in the moment. I want them to get to hire some more women into this team. I want them to take that charge, take that lead. There's incredible talent in that space, so they need to start doing that. So if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, let us know who are some of those specifically. Obviously, who would you think are some, some of those head coaches, assistant coaches that you want, but also specifically, especially for us here, we want to know those women, in the women's leagues, who are some of those coaches that you might want to see?
The first and probably only person, because forgive me, I don't know the women's game as well as I should. I'm still trying to learn it. The first person that comes to mind is Coachella Valley Firebird assistant coach Jessica Campbell. with the Seattle Kraken organization. She's the first person that comes to mind. Yeah. And forgive me for not mentioning any women as well. I was mainly focusing on mostly people who have some sort of experience around the NHL and AHL or leagues around those leagues. So forgive me for not mentioning any women. So that's on me. I should have thought. But I agree. There definitely should be attempts to bring women into the NHL more. I'm in full agreement with that. Ottawa should definitely be a leader in that type of
fashion. Yeah, I just think that especially with the and I could go on length or on at length for this, and we'll move on in a moment. But the incredible response to the PWHL Ottawa team.
Shout out really quickly. I'm sorry, I have to cut you off there. Shout out to Chris, who's also starting a new podcast covering the PWHL, the Ringside Rundown podcast. Follow that on Twitter. Check it out on Spotify. Anywhere you get your podcast at Ringside Rundown. I will include it in today's show notes. Be sure to check it out. Chris is doing phenomenal work covering this league so far. And I'm not just saying that because he's my co-host of Talking Some Sense. I'm saying this because I'm learning pretty much everything I'm learning about the winning this game. 90% of that is coming from Chris. So he's doing a phenomenal job introducing the women's game to people who obviously have not been exposed to it. So great work, Chris, to that. Follow that whenever you can. It's a great, great podcast.
I appreciate that. I did not ask him to do that, so I appreciate that you did that. So thank you so much, and to include it in the show notes means a lot. I appreciate that. Now I don't even remember what was I saying.
Sorry.
No. Now I'm just so appreciative. So I totally forgot where I was. So
sorry
about
that.
That's okay. But yeah, I would just say, with the incredible response that the PWHL, the Ottawa PWHL team has had, they'll be, by the time you hear this, they will be sold out at 8,200. It'll be the in terms of the women's side, the most attended North American sporting event. Again, on the women's side. So that's an incredible honor. There's an incredible passion here for women's hockey. So that's why I think to be able to tap into that, to be able to echo that at a professional level, it is already at the professional level, but to be able to do that at the NHL level is what I meant. Sorry. To be able to do that in this space would be an absolutely incredible thing. So I think let's make sure that we're looking at those as options. So again, would love to hear everyone's ideas. Who are the top female coaches, NCAA, AHL, wherever it may be? Europeans have a ton of incredible talent. You saw that a lot with the Ottawa team as well. They tapped into the European talent because there's so much there. So yeah, that's I'll leave it at that. But just another thing to think to kind of consider.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement with that. But on that note, we're starting to run a little short on time. So we're going to move on to the next segment of the night. It's going to be our final segment, unless Chris has anything else he wants to bring up.
No, let's get into the segment that I don't know what, in which I don't know what will happen.
I lied to you again.
I feel like this is, not only are these segments games that I don't enjoy playing, but they're also games that you continue to change at last minute. We're going to do this. Like, okay, don't tell me anything more. And then you're like, no, we're not going to do that. So now I literally promise you, I say this every time, I have no idea what's going to happen here.
And I'll preface this. A lot of the time, I don't tell Chris what the game is before we record. We always chat for 10, 15 minutes and be like, hey, I've got a couple fun game ideas. Give him the name of the game, but don't tell him anything else. But I lied. I changed my mind because this is what I do. I just change my mind last second every damn time.
Yeah, you do.
And it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Wow. Today we're going to draft a former Ottawa Senators team. We're going to go throughout the NHL and draft a starting lineup. So one left wing, one center, one right wing, two defense, and one goalie. That played at one point in Ottawa.
Are you going to give me players or do I have to know?
You have to know. I don't know any. This is off the top of the head.
Okay. This is going to be, this is going to be super dramatic. but let's find out, how quickly I can Google things.
Should we take a quick breather and give us 5 minutes to look it up?
No, let's just do this. Let's do this. Okay. Let's do this. Okay.
Do you want the first overall pick or do you want me to get the first overall pick?
So okay. So this is former Ottawa Senators, not current.
Former Ottawa Senators. Yes.
Okay. So you know what? You start it. So let's give it to you.
At right defense, first overall, I'm taking Erik Karlsson.
Oh, that's fair.
Sorry. Here, I'm gonna write down these. Oh my god, I'm dizzy.
Yeah, write them down because I.
And you'll have to make a graphic later.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. So here, 1 second.
I'm gonna write them on my wall here.
So
I get a pen that works.
This is going to be great content for us. Everyone's going to be like, what's happening right now? Okay. So, oh my God. So, man, I'm terrible with the, okay. So let's do this.
And I will say, if I, because I will be editing this later, if this takes 10 minutes for Chris to think of a guy, I'm just gonna cut the 10 minutes out so it's, you're not listening to, oh, this guy.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
You won't. I'm fairly certain I know what I'm gonna go with. Okay. So, I mean, I have to go with the second overall pick is gonna be at right winger. Daniel Alfredsson.
Currently in the NHL.
So they can't even be involved in hockey at all?
No, like he has to be an active player in the NHL.
So wait, he can't be in the NHL, but he has to be an active player in the NHL?
No, what I mean is like someone who at one point played in Ottawa, who is still playing in the league elsewhere throughout the NHL.
Are you kidding me? How am I supposed to come up with that? This is, you already knew where this was going to go.
No, I didn't.
My goodness gracious. No.
I'm sorry.
No.
If you want a cheat list, go. I'm not.
No. Don't give me a way out on this one.
Do you want help?
No, I don't want help. Just all my options are now gone. who's played?
Okay, fine. You get one player who's whatever. Yeah, no, one player, no, whatever. Fine.
Those weren't the rules. I thought I understood the rules. This is why it's off the cuff and it's like in the moment. I don't even know how to find that information. But
check the stats in the NHL. Check the stat leaderboards.
Yeah, yes, smartass. I know how to do that. God, there's going to be, you're going to have to edit a bunch of this out.
Oh, absolutely.
What part? Senators.
Oh, I know who I'm going with next.
No, you know what? Stop. This isn't helping me at all. Wait, what resource are you using for this shit?
NHL.com. The stat leaders, like in points.
Oh. God.
It's a stupid resource, but it gives you names that you didn't think of.
Oh God, you're the worst.
you love me.
God, I hate you so much. Okay, so
Erik Karlsson. And you tried to go with Daniel Alfredsson, you cheat.
Yeah, because I thought that was the I didn't realize that it was like you couldn't go with. I thought it was like any Ottawa Senator.
I guess to steal a term, I'm going to steal from the Locked On podcast, Locked On Senators, sends abroad, basically. Yeah. We're doing a draft of basically sends abroad.
But they can't play for them now. They have to have played for them previous. Okay. So this pains me. It's not really the one I want. How many rows can I go? Okay, there we go. Oh, you know what? This probably shouldn't be my second overall pick, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do right winger Mark Stone.
Sorry, I hit my desk.
I thought you were mad at me because I thought that was your pick.
Yeah, that was my pick. That's why I hit my desk.
Yes, thank Rats. God. This is terrible content.
Oh, come on. I got to pull up here. One second. I had it on my phone, but the phone only
so we're doing so top line, top D.
Yeah, a top line, top D. Yeah.
Okay.
I hate the NHL app.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It sucks. He's gone. That's what I was going with. Hold on. And in fairness, all these guys are in their prime. So our draft is in their prime, which Mark Stone in his prime is elite. Eric Karlsson in his prime is elite. Yeah. So
okay,
that's fair. I know. Left wing, Alex DeBrincat.
Oh, shoot. Well, that's good because I've scrolled past him, so I didn't want to have to go back to him.
And he's left wing. I was not thinking. I was thinking a center, but I forgot he played for Ottawa. I was looking at the jersey right in front of me.
Yeah. Okay. So,
please don't pick my guy. Please don't pick my guy. Please don't.
I hope I go 2 for 2 for picking your guy. That would be great.
I will throw this bottle à la Pierre Dorion.
which means I've probably already gone past him. Dadonov. I'm kidding. I'm not picking him. I'm not picking him. I'm just. At his prime. Oh man, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna cause some stir here. With my pick at center, I'm choosing JG Pacho.
Thank God.
I'm comfortable with that.
Matt Duchene.
No, absolutely not.
Yes.
No. Also, I hadn't reached him on the. Oh, hey, there we go. Okay, great. This is awesome.
He's got 90 points, 37 goals 2 years ago in Nashville.
Yeah, but he's on the downswing, so it doesn't matter. Anyway,
moving on.
Yeah, moving on to what's more important, which is my pick. It will be. So I have my right wing at with Stone. My
you got center, Stone. Yeah.
My center is going to be Pageau. And then I'm actually going to do left wing. I'm going to do Mike Hoffman.
Hoffman. Interesting.
Yeah. Not that I don't like him, but he was a good scorer.
We're not talking the person. We're talking the player.
Yeah. As long as that's clear. And also, I just have to find names. So that's the other part of it.
Fair. I'm just going to
write. Wait. Can I take that pick back?
Fine.
Okay. At left, I want Duclair.
Fudge!
Sorry. I'm much more comfortable with that decision than the other one. Also, I just found him on the list, so.
That's who I was going with. Fudge.
Sucks to suck.
Does suck to suck.
Although Curtis Lazar was up there for me. I'm kidding. He wasn't.
For drafting a full team, sure.
Yeah, yeah. If I need depth forwards, I'll do that. But
I've bitten off more than I can chew.
I know, yeah.
Cody Ceci. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Hey, that was the first jersey I ever had was Cody Ceci.
Ugh.
I know.
God.
I know. Cost me a lot of money.
I'm having a hard time here.
Yeah, I can't find my Oh,
you found a guy, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I'll let because I'm not going to change my answer. Don't forget about Silverberg, eh?
Yeah, but he's yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, I know.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, just
wanted. I was thinking DeMello, but I've already got my right D.
Oh, hey, I'll take him.
Yeah. Here, 1 second.
Oh yeah, I guess it's your turn. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with goalie.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to go. I am going to go goalie. Filip Gustavsson.
Okay, good call. Yeah, yeah. And then I'll go with DeMello.
DeMello.
He's right, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure there's got to be a better way to be doing this than the way that I'm scrolling through a lot of names here.
Oh, I'm sure there's a better way to do this. But like I said, like I came up with this last second. And there's two picks each.
Okay.
Left.
So I have left shot D, and you have what?
You have left shot.
Oh, and goalie.
You have left shot D and goalie. I've got left shot D and right wing.
Oh, I'm going to forget these names.
I haven't written down for it. Don't worry. If you pick a guy, I'll say he's taken.
No, I'm going to forget them because I've scrolled past them.
Oh.
There's got to be a better way to be doing this, but I don't want to be going back up to the top. Okay, so I'm going to go goalie next. You're up next, I think.
Yeah, I'm still. Wait. 4-4. I'm up. Yeah, I'm up.
Okay.
Do I pick a left wing and use them at right? I don't know. There's a couple goalies to pick some of them seeing.
Yeah.
I think I got the best goalie there. I've got one of, if not the best goalie there. So, I don't think, Robin Leonard counts because he's not really playing anymore.
No, I'm not going to pick him.
No. Yeah.
Although I had considered it.
I know I'm going to pick.
Okay.
Josh Brown. No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Answer it though. Connor Brown.
Oh yeah, good call. Yeah, in his prime. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I'm gonna go. This is gonna be a long shot here, but I'm going Decord.
Ooh, I like that. He's pretty good this year.
Yeah, and so that's I think I just have a left shot defenseman, right?
Yeah, you should have a left shot D-man left. Do you want to go first for this last pick, or do you want me to go first for this last pick?
It doesn't really matter. You, because I don't have an answer for my left.
Fair. I haven't really. Hold on. Oh, by the way, I will say this while I'm looking here. We're recording this right before the game starts. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just figured I'd mention that there. Nikita Zaitsev. No, I'm joking.
Oh my god, ooh, that would have been off the board for sure. I'm worried that I'm gonna forget that somebody used to play for the Sens. Mike Riley.
I've got an interesting pick. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Great minds think alike. Yeah. I was thinking about him, but I'll pass. Oh my god.
Okay, so I have my guy.
Yeah.
So when you're, nope, you're up. You're
go
up
ahead. Now. Oh, you sure? You sure?
You go.
Okay. As soon as I found a guy, I'm still on the clock here. I'm gonna give myself. Can you count? Can you let me know when 30 seconds is up? Because that's gonna be my time here. Because if I'm still looking after 30 seconds, I'm done looking.
Yep.
Okay. Let me know when we're at like 30.
Yeah.
Because I want to find a guy better than that guy I was thinking of, but if I can't, then I'll have to go with him.
Yeah, I just stopped scrolling, to be honest. I'm like, he's fine.
See, I'm looking through Ottawa Senators trade history, so if I could think of any names.
10 seconds left.
Oh!
3, 2.
We missed a very, very clear name, and we can't pick him because we all have our guys. I'm going to pick Mike Riley because I can't think of any other lefty.
Okay.
But we can't pick him because we have our center now. I'm so mad. We completely missed this guy. Do you want me to say it, or do you want me to say that? Because yes.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. As you were saying that, I was like, "Oh, right. Yeah." Everyone's yelling at us right now for not picking Zibanejad. Yeah, that's fair. That's what happens when these games happen in like real time.
Yes, it's okay. It's fun.
So I'm gonna go with someone who had a very short, very brief playing career with the Ottawa Senators, but technically he was an Ottawa Senator. Ian Cole.
I was thinking about him too, but because he didn't play one game for Ottawa, I thought for me that'd be no. But if you want him, go for it.
No, he was a part of the organization. You didn't say he had to play for them. He just had to be in the organization.
He was in Ottawa for all of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
What number does Cole wear? 81?
I don't even know. Doesn't say here. Maybe if I click on it. 82.
Ah, it was close. Yeah, because right, he wears 28 in his flip over in whatever team he's playing now. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, it looks like he's playing for Vancouver right now.
What is it with all gingers wearing number 28? Ian Cole, Connor Brown, Claude Giroux.
I mean, it's a safe one. It's a safe, fair. safe number.
Fair. On that note, that's our draft. I'm going to send these.
Do you want to give off the our teams? Do you want to name off our teams?
Yes. I'm going to get Chris to make our graphics to this as well, and I want everybody to see who wins.
I already know who's going to win. It's going to be you because you have Carlson.
Yeah. Team Chris. Mark Stone. Team Chris at left wing. Anthony Duclair. At center. Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
Pageau.
And at right wing, I'm assuming your team captain, Mark Stone.
Yeah.
On left defense, you've got Ian Cole. On right defense, you got Dylan DeMello. And starting in net, number 34, Joey DeCord.
My team's blue so bad. All right. And Team Jake.
And Team Jake. At left wing, meow meow, Alex, the Brin kit. At center, they've got Mathieu Duchesne. I'm pretty sure he's French. That's why I said his name in French. At right wing, you've got Connor Brown. Left D, Mike Riley. At right D, the captain. King Carl, Eric Carlson. And on that note, I know we missed a bunch of players. We missed Mika Zibanejad, but we can't change that now.
No, nope. Done is done. That's why. Yeah. That's what happens when this is done live.
And I'm sure we missed like guys like Andreas Englund. Who's the guy in New York?
Who's your goalie?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Philip Gustafsson.
Yeah. Okay. Jeez.
Yeah. I could have gone Gustafsson.
Your defense is so strong, you actually don't even need a goaltender.
Exactly. I'll go for six attacker Mika Zibanejad. There we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. All right. Well, yeah, we missed a lot of guys. Who's the one guy in he's 6'6". He's in New York. He's playing their second pair right now, or was. What's his name? Oh, he's super tall. He was involved in the Dion Phaneuf trade. That I do know. Or no, sorry, he was involved in the Cody Ceci trade.
Let's find out. New York.
Ben Harper.
Oh, what?
He's an option.
Yeah, I know he's pretty far down that option chart, but that's fair.
But last year he was a legitimate top four option. If we're picking guys at their best, last year he was a legitimate top four defenseman. He sucked, but last year he was good.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Like Mike Riley sucks now, but he was very good in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was fine. Yeah.
That one year he was our best defenseman.
He was. Yeah. He was really good. What, two that seasons ago? Yeah.
2 seasons ago? Is that what you said?
I think it wasn't 2 seasons ago?
No, it was in 2018-19, you fraud. That's 5 years ago.
In all fairness, the whole COVID thing shattered time for everyone.
Fair.
What I thought was 2 years ago was probably 15. So,
okay, fraud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just pretend to be a Sens fan.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, on that note, that was another edition of the Talking Some Sens podcast. For Chris Sinclair, this is Jake Lair here. Go Sens, go.